Welcome back to my podcast called My Comfort Show, Gilmore Girls Tea and Inspired Recipes, where each week I talk about the TV show Gilmore Girls and I cook recipes that were inspired by each episode. My name is Mia, and thank you so much for waiting an extra week for me because I just started my job and I've been a bit busier. Like, on the weekdays, it's just kind of hard to do anything else other than work, and by the end of the day, I'm just kind of too tired or just need something just to take my mind off of everything that's not too involved. And I really want to, like, dedicate my energy to my podcast when I'm not really tired from work. So I'm going to work on the podcast on the weekends instead. And I think after this week, I'm going to be able to get more into a routine and I won't have to skip a week or anything like that. So hopefully from here, it'll be all right. But yeah, so this episode is called Love and War and Snow. It's season 1, episode 8, so this is our 8th episode together. And the air date is December 14, 2000, and I know I was talking about this a little bit in the last episode, but there is a few weeks in between the previous episode, Kiss and Tell, and this one. So I assume they took some kind of Thanksgiving break or something. But yeah, so I mean, it is a little bit weird just to be watching a Christmas episode, or Christmas time episode. I don't know if this is the Christmas episode, but because there isn't, I mean, Christmas is not going on, or there's no, like, winter holidays going on in this episode. But it's very winter themed, of course, so it did feel a little bit weird for me to be watching this in August. But it was still a great episode, I thought, and I'm excited to jump into it. But before we do that, I would love to go over the recipe of the week that I chose. So I also shared this one on my Instagram very recently, but I made a boxed mix of brookie. It's a brownie and cookie hybrid where, and you have, yeah, so you basically have the brownie batter. It's more cakey on the bottom. And then on the top layer is cookie dough. So when you bake it, it's sort of crispy on the top with the cookie layer. And then on the bottom, it's more dense. So it was really, really good. The brand was Annie's brand. But it did end up being a little bit too sweet, I thought. So just keep that in mind. I might be able to find some recipes for you in the future that where you can make this kind of the same kind of treat, the brookie, but you can make it from scratch instead of from a box, and that way you're able to control how much sugar goes into it if that's if very sweet foods are something that you're not really into. Because I know for me, if something is too sweet, it really, like, takes away from it just really overpowers everything. So I think I would love to try making this one from scratch, but the Annie's box mix is very good as well. And of course, I mean, I did want to talk about why I chose that, and it's really just because I thought it was really cool to mix a brownie and a cookie together, because I love those kinds of treats. And the cookie was chocolate chip, by the way, and I did end up putting some extra chocolate chips on the top. But I really chose it because this particular episode is very, it's, as I said, it's very wintry, it's very cozy, and I thought some treats that you have during winter are cookies and maybe brownies as well, but you can have those all year round, of course. But I thought it would be kind of creative to just try some, to not just do a cookie or just a brownie, but to mix them together. So this box mix just kind of appeared at the perfect time, and so I thought it kind of goes with that very cozy and cozy treats kind of category. And it was really delicious. So if you have your own recipes that you were inspired by this episode, then feel free to share them with me. You can always email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, and I would love to see them and hear how they turned out. So why don't we just get into talking about what happened in this episode. Last week, or last episode, I guess it was more than just a week ago, we talked about how Rory and Dean, they had their first kiss together, and we also had the movie night between Rory, Dean, and Lorelai. That was one of my favorite episodes so far, I think. I would definitely go back and watch that one again, because it's not too dramatic, there's nothing too crazy going on, and it's very sweet. So yeah, if you just remember what happened there, and then that's basically where we are continuing in this episode, Love and War and Snow. It's a little bit more broad, the topic and the kind of characters that we're talking about today. So, it has a lot more going on, I would say. But overall, I think this episode was still pretty good, and so why don't we just start talking about how it starts off. So we have a town meeting with the mayor, and I really loved seeing this. It's a very strong opener for an episode where you have the whole town sitting in a room, and you really feel the energy in the room. So they're just talking about things going on in the town, things they need to do, people who need to help out. And I also wanted to make a correction that in the previous episode, Kiss and Tell, I didn't know who Taylor was, and I just said he was a man who was asking people to put up their decorations and stuff, but it turns out he is Taylor Dosey, so he owns the market where Dean works, and that kind of explains why he was telling Dean what kind of decorations to put up around the market. So I just wanted to clarify that. But at this town meeting, we learned that Friday is the anniversary of the Battle of Stars Hollow, which they say happened in the American Revolutionary War. I'm pretty sure this is a fictional battle. I definitely didn't learn about that one in school or anything. I don't know. And in order to commemorate this battle, they're going to have a reenactment, which is pretty common, I think, in small towns to have reenactments of different battles, because I think a lot of small towns have a lot of unique traditions, and tradition is a big theme of today's episode for sure. So they're going to have a reenactment, and Luke suddenly gets up and he starts shouting at the mayor, and he obviously thinks that the reenactment and the glorification of this war especially is just completely unnecessary, and it's a waste of time, and it's actually kind of offensive, I guess. And he says, why did we fight this battle? So we could just keep all the land that we stole, which is really interesting. And I was a little bit surprised, and also proud that Luke is someone who just stands up for what he believes. But I was also surprised that he was able to do that in front of the whole town and just make his opinions heard. And he points out that the battle was really just 12 guys waiting for the enemy to show up, so it wasn't a particularly interesting battle, I guess. But yeah, they were just standing in the cold, so it's not like there was much fighting going on, I suppose. And I think they even got, quote-unquote, stood up, and they make some jokes about that, how it really wasn't very glorious at all. I think the enemy didn't even show up, so it wasn't really a battle or anything. It was just 12 guys waiting in the cold. So then, in the middle of the night, or I suppose it's pretty late at night, maybe that day, or, you know, like, after the town meeting, later in the night, Lorelai wakes up, and she goes downstairs to open the window. She opens it really wide. She claims that she can smell snow, which is a very famous quote from this entire series, "I smell snow," which I wasn't really familiar with, and I didn't know it was such a big quote until I saw a million mugs on Etsy with with "I smell snow" on it. But it's really cute, and I guess she just loves snow, and we get the sense that she loves the presence of snow, and when snow is coming, she gets super excited, and she predicts that snow is coming tomorrow, so the next day. And she's still in the living room. She plays and replays a message from Max on the answering machine. It's interesting because it sounds like they haven't gone on, well, they haven't gone on a date yet, and it's also been months since they first talked about the date, so I thought that was pretty surprising. But Max on the phone, on the answering machine, he's asking whether they can find a time next week for their date. Yeah, she's also just very excited about that, and I think I'm curious why they hadn't talked in months. I don't know, but maybe both of them were really busy and didn't get around to it. But then Rory comes in, and she gets under the blanket on the couch. They both get really excited about the snow coming. So the next morning at the inn, Michelle and Lorelai are just talking about how there's a big storm coming, and Lorelai's saying everything that she loves about snow. She says everything softens when it snows, which is a really nice way of putting it. And Suki also made a bunch of different treats. She made Rocky Road cookies and cinnamon buns. I think she even mentions making maple sugar snowflakes, which I wish I could have made that for today. But it's not really, I guess, it's not really the season for that, so I wanted to do something a little more broad and something that I could make in the summertime. But yeah, so she has all these treats, and it turns out that the Rocky Road cookies specifically were for Dean, so Suki made them so that Rory could take them to Dean, because he apparently really likes Rocky Road. And on that same topic, this is probably the most unfortunate part of the episode. I don't know if you all felt the same way, but Lane comes in, and I just felt really bad for Lane in this episode, and I related to her a lot. I probably said that last episode as well, but Lane comes in, and Lane is just really excited. She's talking about Rich Blumenfeld, who is her new crush at school, and it seems like they're partners in the band practice, and Lane is actually still wearing her band uniform. She says he has great hair, she loves his hair, and unfortunately, Rory just really doesn't care. It's not really that she doesn't care. I'm sure if she weren't distracted or caught up in her own romantic life, I think Rory would have been there for Lane, but Rory just is completely focused on her own thing. She not only has to bring the cookies to Dean, but she also has to study for a chemistry test, so she doesn't give her best friend a lot of attention or care in this episode. So we see that later when Rory gives Dean the cookies, Lane sort of becomes the third wheel, which really sucks, she becomes the third wheel because, again, Rory and Dean are just completely focused on each other, and Lane feels really overlooked, and so she just makes an excuse and gets out of there. But yeah, I think that's the worst feeling, when you just feel totally like you've lost someone's attention, and I feel like that's pretty common with really young kids, basically, in high school, middle school, is that as soon as you get a boyfriend or girlfriend, your other friends are just totally pushed off to the side. I think that's very common with young people, and I think it's just because they're not used to handling those two types of friendships, like just a platonic friendship and then a romance, so it takes some getting used to, I guess, to make more space in your life and kind of balance your different relationships that you have going on. So I understand why it's hard for Rory right now to figure out that balance, but I can also really relate to Lane and just feel for her. So later that day, we see that Emily is letting Lorelai know that there's a really big storm coming, and it seems like it's a lot more treacherous than they expected, and the roads are going to be dangerous. And it's actually funny because Emily says she hates the snow, which is completely the opposite from Lorelai. So you just see this big snowstorm, and Lorelai loves it. She's excited about it, but then Emily is dreading it and just looking at all the ways it's going to make her life more difficult. So Rory ends up just going straight to her grandparents' house after school, because of course her school is in Hartford, her grandparents live in Hartford, so it's a shorter trip there and it's safer. And it actually looks like she's going to stay there overnight because the storm is probably going on for a while, the roads are not going to be cleaned for a while. And then later that day, it's already pretty much evening time. I mean, I know in the winter it gets dark pretty early, and we see that the townspeople are gathered outside to reenact the battle. So it's a group of about 12 people. They're all dressed up in their costumes. They have muskets. And Luke actually explains to Lorelai. By the way, neither Luke nor Lorelai are participating in the reenactment, but they are just walking by and watching them a little bit. But they're talking, and Luke explains to Lorelai that his father was once part of the battle reenactment many years ago, and he was very dedicated to that tradition. And I think we learned a little bit about Luke's father just in previous episodes, in passing a little bit, but from my understanding, his father owned the the store where Luke's diner or Luke's cafe is right now. So Luke just kept the place, but he changed it into a diner. And it looks like maybe he passed away, so Luke has a lot of memories about his father, and not to mention he lives in the same town where his father lived, so just walking around every corner, he sees something that reminds him of his father. And in some ways, he wants to really distance himself from that life as much as he can. So that would explain why Luke really hates the reenactment, whereas his father was once part of it and actually used a real musket, I think. So he was very dedicated and involved in the town, I guess. So on the same topic of traditions, Lorelai explains that she actually really likes traditions, and she says to him, "I think some traditions are nice. Birthdays, holidays." She says something about walking in the snow. And it's really funny because I was just talking about traditions with my podcast buddy, Erica. So I know I talked about her a few episodes back, but she always has really good thoughts about what's going on in the series with the characters and how they're growing and changing. And she was talking about how traditions are really important in Lorelai's life, especially Lorelai's life with her daughter, because when it's just Lorelai and Rory, and they have they have a slightly unconventional relationship because they are so close in age, and of course, Lorelai is a single mother, so in order to bring Lorelai and Rory closer together as a family and just feeling more like a quote-unquote traditional or conventional family, Lorelai really takes to these traditions. And for example, the story of back in the episode Rory's birthday parties, the story of how Lorelai gave birth to Rory and everything surrounding that, and how she tells the same story word for word every year at 4 a.m. or whatever time Rory was born, that kind of thing. I remember I was talking about how I got the sense that she tells that same story every year. And I can totally see how having that kind of tradition of repetition where you have the same structure and you have something to look forward to, how that can really make you feel more secure and just happy in your family and with your loved ones. And I think whether you're in the kind of relationship that Lorelai and Rory have, or if you are living by yourself, or if you live in, I don't know, a 5-person family or a huge family and all of that, we still, I think everyone has their own traditions, and no matter who you are, they still make you feel really safe and happy. So I love how tradition became a really big theme of this episode, and we really get to see how special it makes Lorelai feel. And yeah, so Lorelai says she sees snow as a kind of holiday present. And I think maybe because she didn't really get the presents that she wanted when she was a kid, so something like snow, which is always, you can always count on snow coming every holiday season, at least in the part of the country where Lorelai lives. But it is kind of just a repetitive thing that you can just look forward to, and it brings you joy. So now we get a bit of a cringy moment where the band is setting up outside in the snow as well. So it's actually not just the reenactors, but it looks like the school band is setting up. And Lane, as we know, Lane and Rich are in the same band, and she's standing behind him. I think he's on the ground somewhere, just bending over, maybe putting his stuff away or something. And she touches his hair. And I think he looks at her, and he's just completely confused and taken aback. And so she just runs off because she's really shocked and very, very humiliated and embarrassed from what she did. Lorelai is walking back home in the snow, and she comes across Max, who apparently his car broke down on his way home, and she's just really, really shocked to see him there, not to mention really happy because she was just listening to his message, and it looks like they were just about to plan something to do together, so it worked out perfectly. And she says, why don't we just spend the rest of the evening together, because Rory's at her grandparents' place in Hartford, and they can always walk around the town in the snow and talk and get food and all of those things. So he agrees, and she shows him around the town, and they end up talking about their past relationships. And I like the fact that they both have like this one person in their past that they feel comfortable talking about to a new potential romantic partner, and I think they were both able to connect on that point. So they both go to see a scary movie. I think it was at the library. I'm pretty sure they went to the library to see a scary movie, and they spend most of the time just talking to each other, actually. And I'm pretty sure they have their first kiss there. I wasn't really keeping track, but I think that was their first kiss, yeah. I thought it was pretty unique that they see a scary movie around the holiday time, or at least when it's snowing. I think, not that that's something I wouldn't do. I actually love scary movies. I think watching a scary movie actually makes me feel very cozy as well. I mean, I guess it really depends on what movie it is, but especially if you're watching it with someone else and you can both be scared together. So I don't know if you all have those kinds of traditions as well, where you watch a scary movie when it's snowing out, or maybe you just watch scary movies to feel more cozy. I don't know, it's kind of convoluted and twisted, but somehow it works, actually. So meanwhile, Emily is completely panicking. So we're back in Hartford, and she's panicking because the cook canceled, and Emily thinks that means they won't be able to have dinner, because it's pretty clear that Emily and Richard don't know how to cook, unfortunately. They barely even know how to turn on the oven or what kind of sounds the oven makes, and Rory decides to help them out by making a frozen pizza, which is funny because I just made a frozen pizza for my recipe of the week last week. But they're waiting for the pizza to be ready, and Rory just kind of sneaks off and goes into Lorelai's old room and goes through her mother's things, and she not really because she's snooping. I think she's just curious, and it seems like if Rory's gonna sleep over that night, then she would probably sleep over in Lorelai's old room anyway, so I understand why she's curious about going through the room and seeing what there is in there. And she ends up finding 4 pictures from a photo booth. It was like that vertical strip of photos from a photo booth, and they're all of Lorelai and Christopher. On the back of the photos, it says what year those photos were taken, and it's 1983, which is around the time when Rory was born, pretty much. And Rory actually puts the photos in her jacket pocket, so she just kind of takes them away. And at that moment, Lane calls, and she actually says that she's at Rory's house, and she's wondering where Rory is, which I also thought was strange, because then if Lane doesn't know where Rory is, then why did she call Rory's grandparents' home? But I suppose maybe she just wanted to call Rory's grandparents and ask them where Rory is, but it turned out Rory was actually there. Something like that. But Lane is really panicking and upset because she touched her crush's hair just out of nowhere. And on top of that, she's really upset that Rory hasn't been listening to her this whole time, and just her luck, because the phones go dead at that exact moment when Rory can try to apologize. So now that the phones are dead, Rory goes back to the kitchen and finishes up the pizza, and Emily cuts into it with a knife and fork. And I love what Rory says. She says, if you want to get really crazy, you can pick it up. But I don't know, sometimes you have to eat pizza with a knife and fork, especially if there's a lot of toppings. It gets kind of messy, but yeah. But I think mostly it's easy enough to just pick it up. And after dinner, Rory brings a picture book from Lorelai's room. Maybe it's not a picture book, it's more like a picture album. And she shows it to her grandparents, and they tell her all kinds of stories about Lorelai's childhood as they're flipping through all the pictures. There's even a picture of Lorelai in her debutante gown, and debutante is very high society, at least in my mind, so I thought it was very interesting to see Lorelai in a gown like that. I mean, it was a very pretty gown, but it really doesn't seem like something Lorelai would enjoy today. So I thought that was interesting to see that. But just at that moment when Rory is asking more questions about the debutante gown and the ball, all of a sudden Emily and Richard, they change the subject, and Rory realizes that although Lorelai bought a dress, she never ended up going to her debutante ball. And I can only assume that's because she got pregnant, yeah, or she had already dropped out by that point. So now we're back outside, we're back with the reenactment, and Luke brings coffee to everyone. He is really sweet because as much as he hates the idea of reenacting this battle, he still just can't help himself by bringing big cups of coffee for everyone who's standing out there in the freezing cold. And it's some of them turn down the coffee because it's not historically accurate, I guess. Some other people are asking if he has herbal tea instead, with a squeeze of lemon. And some people want hot cocoa. So, looks like Luke is really gonna have his hands full today. But just for a quick moment, he looks to the side and he sees Max and Lorelai walking a bit in the distance, but they're walking very romantically in the snow. And I think over the course of these past 8 episodes, we've seen a few hints here and there that Luke maybe likes Lorelai, and I feel like every time she's mentioned something about her love life, he either shuts it down, or if she says she turned down a date, then he looks really happy, and that kind of thing. So yeah, he sees them and he looks a bit sad. But I also wanted to mention there's a really nice song playing. It's called Someone to Watch Over Me, and I really like this rendition. I never heard it before. It's a pretty old song, but I really thought it was so perfect for the moment. So that was definitely a highlight of the episode for me. I'm going to go back and listen to that song again. And Lorelai ends up taking Max to her front door, and she kind of starts getting a little bit nervous because she has to explain to him that she has this rule with Rory where she can never have a man over in her house. And she never has invited someone over like that. And it's because she doesn't want her dating life to get wrapped up with Rory's life. But I feel like it's already kind of too late because she's dating Rory's teacher. But anyway, Max is okay with that. I think I didn't really get the sense that he was pressuring her or anything. But he says, let's just have coffee. And he also said that someday someone is going to come along, like some guy is going to come along, and if you really like him and if he's really worth it, then you should open that door for him, because if he is a really good guy, then you would want Rory to meet him, and then maybe he'd become a more permanent part of their lives, you know? You can't just keep such strict boundaries around different compartments of your life, I guess. And so if you find someone really special, then you should invite them into your life. And so I pretty much agree with that. I think it's so complicated all the time in this storyline. But she ends up inviting him over inside for coffee. But once they're inside, they start kissing, and they can't really, I guess, they can't really control themselves very much. And they start going upstairs, but Lane just comes over and turns on the light out of nowhere. And did you all think this was kind of shocking, or did you see it coming right away? Did you know? I mean, obviously we knew that Lorelai was at their home, but I guess I had just always assumed that Lane would have gone home by that point. But of course there is a snowstorm, so maybe it's a little bit too dangerous for her to walk home. I'm not sure. But also she's just very emotionally distressed right now, so she wouldn't want to go home anyway. I think she sees the Gilmore's home as a very safe place. So anyway, I thought that was a little bit surprising. I really didn't expect Lane to still be there. But Lane just goes into the other room and starts playing really loud music. And Lorelai knows something is up with her, so she breaks away from Max and she goes and sees what's going on with Lane. And it looks like Lane had gone into Rory's room, because Lorelai comes in and Lane just goes over her totally major Judy Blume moment, where she says she touched a boy's hair without his permission, and it felt like she was totally out of control of her own body, and she's totally humiliated. She thinks everyone at school will be talking about her. And I really liked what Lorelai said to her to make her feel better, which is that you're going to have totally embarrassing moments all throughout your life, but especially in high school when you're still basically a growing kid and you're always going to feel out of control of your body and your actions during that time of your life. And she says, think of this as a trial run for even more embarrassing moments of your life, which doesn't really make Lane feel any better. But the part that I really appreciated, and it also made me feel really sad, honestly, was that Lorelai said she can completely relate to feeling humiliated by classroom gossip because she got pregnant in high school, and we can only imagine that everybody was talking about her and making her feel really awful. So it's one of those moments where as soon as Lorelai says that, it totally eclipses Lane's problem and makes it seem really silly. And Lane just realizes that what she's been worrying about this whole time is really not that much of an issue, and it'll pass. So I think that's all a good thing. So I think Lorelai is really good at these kind of conversations, and she can really just relate on a deep level to all these kids, Rory and Lane. And I think for that reason, she's a really good mother in those situations. So she comes back downstairs to Max, and she says that unfortunately their date will have to be cut short because Lane's going to be staying over, and it seems like Lane just needs to spend some time by herself at the Gilmore's home and just calm down a little bit from all this embarrassment and humiliation she was feeling. And so they say goodnight, and it looks like, I guess, Max is sleeping on the couch. And the next morning, Rory comes back home, and it's a little bit panicky because Rory comes back before Max can leave. And actually, Max is still asleep on their couch when Rory arrives, and Lorelai's trying to explain everything, and I think Rory handles it okay. Rory says that she feels weird because Lorelai broke their rule of not having a boy over. But Lorelai apologizes, and she says that it won't be some kind of a trend or anything. And what I really like is that Lorelai says Rory comes first. And I'm wondering what you all thought about that moment. I'm really glad that Lorelai stayed flexible, and she always manages to put her daughter first. Even though I guess it was a little bit weird at first where she decided to date Rory's teacher, but even then she said, if you feel uncomfortable or anything, just say the word and I'll call it all off. So I always appreciate how Lorelai is just willing to throw it all away for her daughter. And Lane comes out of Rory's room because, of course, she slept over, and Rory immediately apologizes to her for being the worst friend lately. Those are her words, not mine. I don't think she's the worst friend ever. I mean, she could have done much worse things, but I agree that she wasn't a very good friend. And Lane expresses a lot of sadness and loneliness due to Rory being with Dean all the time, and I like how Lane just said straight out what her problem was, and it gives Rory an opportunity to change immediately because she knows just what Lane needs from her. And I think that is also a really difficult thing for kids to do, just to actually identify why you're feeling sad and lonely, and then if it's due to someone else making you feel lonely, then you have to talk to them about it. And so I really liked how Lane was able to express all of that to Rory, and Rory says, "You came first," to Lane, which is really sweet. And I hope we actually see Rory trying to be better, because I can see how conflicts between friends like this can be reoccurring. I think it all just comes in waves, and depending on where you are in your life, sometimes your friends might feel like you're neglecting them a little bit. For example, I can see how maybe even with Dean too, or maybe future romantic relationships with Rory, I can see how maybe Lane would still continue to feel lonely. And so I really hope that either Lane finds someone special of her own, or perhaps even better, I hope that Lane and Rory can just work on building a really, really strong core friendship, so that no matter what is going on in either of their lives, like peripherally, they can both just stay really good, strong friends no matter what. So I really hope we get to see more of that. And I guess on that same topic, I feel like this episode really handles, I would say it really feels like we're seeing how the introduction of guys into Rory's and Lorelai's and Lane's lives really can change all the relationships surrounding them. And I think it's not just the guys themselves, but I guess just life changes, because everyone's sort of going through changes where Rory and Lane are getting boyfriends or crushes and all those things. And Lorelai is also in a bit of a change because, as we saw, this is the first time she invited a guy over to her house. And it seems like she's in this kind of transitional time where she's trying to figure out how to have a mother-daughter relationship with Rory, but also have a guy in her life and do all that as a single mother. So everyone's lives are really in a transitional period. So I would say the issue is not the guys themselves, but I think it's just the change that, for example, introducing a new person into your life or making a new friendship or a new relationship, that just kind of causes all the other aspects of your life to shift a little bit more. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's just a natural part of life. But I really liked how we saw that paralleled in three different characters today. So, yeah, the final scene is just Rory ends up kind of taking a peek at Max and Lorelai just hanging out together after he woke up. And she just sees how close and romantic they are with each other, which, oh, and something I didn't mention is also at that moment, Rory takes out the four photos of Lorelai and Christopher, and she kind of looks at them a little bit wistfully. And I feel bad because we can tell that Rory just misses the days when Christopher and Lorelai were together, you know? I don't even think Rory was alive for those days. I think she didn't even exist yet, but at least her mother and her father were together, which is a really important point. And we understand why Rory maybe feels nostalgic for Christopher, or at least for the days when Lorelai and Christopher were together. So seeing Lorelai with a different guy just makes her feel really sad. And again, that just goes back to the times of change that I was talking about, where when Lorelai is seeing Max now, it's a difficult transition time for Lorelai, but it's also really difficult for Rory because this is the first time really that I think this is the first time when Lorelai is actually introducing a new person into both of their lives. So we'll see where that goes. I just wanted to leave you all with some final thoughts and the title for next week's episode. My final thoughts, I guess I would just say that I know I was talking a little bit earlier how I really felt like I could relate to Lane a lot in this episode, and I feel like Lane seems to be the kind of person, or Not that this defines who she is as a person at all, but maybe at that age or at the young age that she is, as soon as you have a crush on someone, it's like they become your whole world. Or if you just see them for a second and you don't even know their name or whatever. So yeah, and then I just wanted to share the title for next week's episode, which is Rory's Dance. And this one is a really exciting one. We have a school dance. I'll give you that as a hint if you haven't seen the episode before, and if you would like to watch it before we talk next week. But yeah, this one's a fun one, and it's pretty interesting. It's like a little bit dramatic. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And yeah, if you ever have any thoughts, feel free to email me at mycomfortshow@gmail.com, because I would love to hear from you. And I hope you have a great week. Talk next time. Bye.